It was a Sabbath day. Jesus was invited to dine in the house of one of the Pharisees. And while he was there at table among the Pharisees and lawyers, they were keeping an eye on him because they hated him. They resented his claim to be the Messiah, the Son of God. They resented the fact that he treated all people as if they needed a Savior. You see, self-righteous people hate that. They hate it when you deal with them as if they need to be saved, because they dream that they are already perfectly right with God because of their sincerity, or because of their good deeds, or because of their good intentions. And the thought never crosses their minds that they are marked by sin, lost before God and under His judgment apart from God's grace. So when Jesus spoke of Himself as a Savior and He offered Himself to people and called them to repent and believe in Him for salvation, they hated that. They hated it. And they watched Him to see if they could trip Him up. Now, there was a man suffering from edema, dropsy, at the feast. And Jesus asks them a question. He says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And they all look at one another back and forth, and they've got nothing to say, because they feel that any way that they answer him, they're going to have trouble. And so, very often, what people do when they don't know how to properly answer and they don't want to admit that the Christian faith and the biblical faith is the true faith, they shut their mouths and refuse to say anything. So Jesus takes the man, heals him of his dropsy instantly, and dismisses him and sends him on his way. And then he looks indictingly at his dinner guests and he says, "Which of you has an ass or an ox that falls into a pit will not right away pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him any of these things. Here what Jesus is doing is he's showing us the true meaning of the Sabbath day. You see, the Pharisees taught and thought that the Sabbath was all about my performance, things that you don't do and things that you do. And if you do these things and don't do them right, then you earn credit with God. That's the way they thought of the Sabbath. A big opportunity to earn credit with God by not doing things and doing things. Jesus says, "You guys have got it all messed up. The Sabbath is about something else entirely." And he heals this man before them all and shows that the Sabbath is all about the promised salvation of God coming to sinners. Because just like dropsy will eventually suffocate you to death as you fill up with water, so it is that sin will eventually suffocate you to death until you land in hell. And so by healing the man of the dropsy on the Sabbath day, our Lord Jesus shows himself to be the Savior of sinners from sin and the giver of life everlasting. So we need to take a look at what the Bible says about the Sabbath day. And there are five kinds of Sabbath in the Bible. The first Sabbath is the creation Sabbath. The seventh day, the work of creation was finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from his work which he had made. Now, the creation Sabbath serves two purposes for us. Number one, it tells us that God finished the work of creation and rested before beginning his work of preservation, so that God's relationship to his creation transfers itself from creating to preserving, and there is a period of rest in it. But the fact that God sets aside the seventh day and blesses the seventh day gives us a kind of a hint, if you will, that God has good thing in store for his creation. Now, that's all I want to say for now. The fact that he sanctifies and blesses the seventh day is an indicator that God has good things in store for his creatures. We move on to the second kind of Sabbath, the Mosaic Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So there's a connection between the creation Sabbath and the commandment of the Lord that on the Sabbath day we are to abstain from work in order to have time and opportunity to hear the word of God and to worship. And so, the Sabbath in the Old Testament is a sign of God's grace in the midst of our life. The opportunity for us to set aside time to hear the word and to be spiritually refreshed. Now, unbelievers do not think that it's a beautiful opportunity of grace. 5 minutes is too much time to ask an unbeliever to go to church and to hear the word of God. Listen, I've been a pastor for so many years that I can't even remember. But you know, I have heard some of the craziest excuses from people who want to be considered Christians. They're not just rank rebellious unbelievers out there. They want to be considered Christians. But the silly reasons that they will come up with for perpetually absenting themselves from the proclamation of the word and the administration of the sacraments is enough to make your head spin. The silliest excuses in the world. Because you see, when we are in unbelief and God asks anything of it, we can only resent his intrusion. But here we see the connection between the blessing of God in creation and the commandment to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now listen, in the New Testament church, all right, we no longer observe the seventh day Sabbath, because the Lord has freed us from Jewish ceremonial law, the laws of the Old Testament, the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. And therefore, in the book of Colossians, we are told, don't let anyone pass judgment on you about Sabbath days, new moons, or festivals. These are the shadow of good things to come. The substance or the body is Christ. Now that we have Christ, we're no longer under Old Testament ceremonies and festivals because we have in Christ the substance that they all pointed to. But we do still have the moral content of the Old Testament ceremonial law. And that means that Christians also set aside a day in which we take time and opportunity to hear the Word of God, to receive the sacraments of the Lord, and to give Him due answer in prayer and praise. And in Christian freedom, the apostles chose the first day of the week, Sunday, as the day when the Christians would gather, because Sunday is the observance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the assurance of our life everlasting. So, the second Sabbath is the Mosaic Sabbath, time and opportunity to worship. The third Sabbath mentioned in the Bible is the spiritual Sabbath. And this is expressed best by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 11 when he says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, what is Jesus saying to me? He is telling us, and this is now when you begin to look backwards at the creation Sabbath and the Mosaic Sabbath, he's telling us that he is the very reason why God instituted the Sabbath and blessed the seventh day in the first place. The Sabbath was a sign of the coming of the Messiah and of the spiritual life and refreshment that the Messiah would bring in his coming. It is a sign of the dawn of the new covenant, the new testament, the day of grace, the time of salvation. Come to me. Notice how Jesus centers our attention on himself. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You who are beaten down by sin and weakness. Come to me. I will give you rest. I will forgive you your sins. I will assure you that you are accepted by God. I will give you hope that your faith will transcend the gate of the grave and death, and I will give you everlasting life so that your hearts may be filled with peace and tranquility in this world. By me, you shall find rest for your souls. This is the third Sabbath, the spiritual Sabbath, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth Sabbath mentioned is the Sabbath of our deliverance. And that is this, that on Friday, when our Lord Jesus was crucified and he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and he was laid in a tomb and his body rested in the grave on the Sabbath day before rising from the dead on the first day of the week. And so the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. His body was laid in the sepulcher and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, what does this have to say to us? The rest of our Lord Jesus Christ in the grave on the Sabbath day shows us that after his sacrificial death on behalf of sinners, the graves of all believers, listen to this now, the graves of all believers are sanctified. That means that for the believer in Christ, the grave is not the gateway to hell and damnation, but the grave is a bed of rest in the peace of God. Jesus said to the penitent thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And so Christ's rest in the tomb shows us that when we die and our bodies are laid in the grave, this is not bad news for the believer. It's why the apostles refer to the death of a Christian as sleep. Not because we're unconscious after death, but because we rest. We rest in the grace and the peace of God. And the other thing is that the rest of Christ in the tomb before his resurrection assures us that though we die in the body, we will rise again and enter into the kingdom of glory. Now, the final Sabbath is the eternal Sabbath, home at last. Revelation 7 says to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." He's talking about Christians who have died and who have risen again on the day of resurrection. He says, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So, we have time and opportunity to hear the Word of God and to be refreshed in spirit. We have faith in Jesus Christ by which we are reconciled to God in the name of Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that our graves are places of rest for our bodies, and that our souls and our bodies are guaranteed to rise again on the last day. And then we have this beautiful homecoming in which Christians who are so wearied and bent and bowed down by the troubles of this life find that there will be a day when their robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb, where they stand before the throne of God and God himself dwells among them, where they never know hunger and thirst, where the heat of the sun doesn't beat down on them, and where the Lamb of God himself feeds them and refreshes them in fountains of water, and all their tears will be wiped away. This is the blessed homecoming that the creation Sabbath, the Mosaic Sabbath, the Christian understanding of the spiritual Sabbath, and the rest of our Lord Jesus in the tomb before his resurrection, and the promise of everlasting life, all of this is a great revelation of God's grace for sinners. And when Jesus healed a man of dropsy on the Sabbath day, it was a sign of his grace and his saving work for you and for me. Amen.